It's 8464CA. I remember over many, many years, we seem to get to the 1st of March and suddenly there's a drop in temperature. It's like right on cue. Autumn has arrived and things start to change, but not this year. 36, 37 degrees for days and days and days on end. For the beginning of March, it is something that's just a little bit unusual, but I guess not surprising in so many ways. Now, Dr. Nicole Sleeman, she's actually with the Doctors for the Environment Australia. She's a local GP, a special guest on 4CA a few months ago. Keen to talk to her again a little bit more about the climate and some of the impacts, particularly with what's happening in our region and also down in southeast Queensland. Dr. Nicole Sleeman, good morning. Welcome back to the studio. Nice to have you back on board. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me along again, Murray.
Bit of a warm walk up to the radio station this morning. Just tell me, over the last couple of days, you working as a GP, I'm sure you've probably seen incidents of actually people presenting as a result of the heat in the last week or so.
Yeah, actually, I worked over the weekend and my very first presentation at 8 a.m. was heat-related illness.
Wow. Yeah. It's unsurprising that these type of things are happening more. And look, you know, I think from our part of the world, we're just terrified of the cold because we're so used to living in this warm climate. But when it actually comes to impacts from heat, you know, heat is actually far worse and actually far more deadly to humans than what the cold is.
Definitely. Heat waves are deadly. They've killed more Australians since 1890 than bushfires, cyclones, earthquake, floods and severe storms combined.
Wow, that's a bit scary. It really is.
It is, and heat waves are becoming hotter, they're lasting longer, and they're occurring more often due to global warming.
Well, I mean, as I said, you know, this is only just a micro situation, but even just in the last couple of days. But then again, let's look a bit wider. Let's look what's happened in Sydney the last few days, northern New South Wales, and of course the $2.5 billion in costs the flooding has had on the southeast corner of Queensland alone. That doesn't even include the impacts there in the northern New South Wales area. And of course, 13 deaths. So look, you know, in general terms, the flooding and of course the resulting deaths in southeast Queensland are a result of climate change as well, Nicole.
Yeah, they definitely are. You know, climate change is driven by burning coal, oil and gas, and it increases short and heavy rain events, which then increases the risks of flash flooding. So actually, for each 1 degree rise in global average temperature, the atmosphere can hold approximately 7% more moisture, which increases the likelihood of these extreme downpours that we're seeing. So globally, temperatures have increased 1.1 degrees Celsius. And the science is such that we need to keep it below 1.5, and we will still have impacts with this, and there are limits to what we can adapt to, and there will still be loss and damage, but keeping it below 1.5 gives us the best chance for the future.
And I think that was the explanation certainly about some of those rain events down in the southeast corner in New South Wales just in the last few days. Unprecedented. And coming back to the science of exactly what you're talking about, those hotter temperatures mean that the atmosphere will hold more water. Therefore, the impacts are far greater because you get so much more rain in a shorter period of time.
Yeah, this is exactly what it is. You know, and the floods are made worse by climate change are costing, they cost the health, of course, of, you know, Australians, and they also cost the economy billions of dollars. And so if we continue with emissions as we are, then floods could cost us up to $40 billion per year by 2060. And wow, that's only the economic cost. That's not taking into account the lives lost, you know, all the damages, the psychological traumas.
And just yesterday in the breakfast show, I was talking to Senator Murray Watt specifically about flood mitigation and, of course, natural disaster mitigation. We're doing more and more of that. We're throwing more and more money at that as well. And of course, then you get the impacts with respect to the cost, the $2.5 billion that we've spoken about down in the southeast corner. Coming back to so many issues that we've got in society, we need to address the root cause instead of actually continuing to put band-aids on things.
Yeah, we do. Look, we need to cut emissions this decade. You know, there's only global climate change is caused by burning fossil fuels. You know, this is the issue, and it's a two-pronged thing that we need to do. We need to mitigate and we need to adapt, because we've already got global climate change. We've already got the impacts. We need to better prepare for these and be able to deal with the impacts. But mitigation means cutting greenhouse gases. We need to slash them.
And, you know, it's a no-brainer. We've been told this for the last 30 to 40 years. All the predictions plans are basically coming to fruition, as they've suggested. But there's still, despite the economic impacts and, of course, the personal, the health impacts that you represent as a GP, you know, there's still, I guess, a degree of inaction, particularly by our government.
Yeah, it's confusing to me, to be honest, being on the front line as a health professional. I think, you know, there's always this argument about the costs of acting, of reducing emissions, but we need to think about the costs of inaction, and this is the cost to people's health, and it's the cost of a health system which isn't able to, you know, to be able to manage this level of health impacts from climate change.
I mean, we've got from the federal government up to about $200 million a year that's available specifically for flood mitigation projects or natural disaster mitigation projects here in Queensland. If that money had been spent in the last couple of years or even just in the last year, you know, that would have made a drastic reduction to the $2.5 billion in cost for the recent floods. So the simple economics, I mean, this just all adds up. It really does.
Yeah, it does. And without these faster emission cuts, more Australians are going to face worsening extreme weather events. You know, every part of Australia will suffer, and some places are going to become unlivable. And it's, you know, poorer people and places are most at risk of these impacts.
Yeah. Look, it's an ongoing concern, and I think the next federal government is likely to flush out, I guess, some of the real issues here and some of the things that need to be done, because it's just, you know, unviable economically and, of course, community-wise, socially, for us to continue down this track and continue not to do enough to deal with this issue when we're paying for it right as we speak. Madness, it really is. Keep up the good work. And I believe you're actually at Rusty's every Saturday morning. So for people that would like to find a little bit more about Doctors for the Environment and some of the things that they're dealing with, some of the things they're doing as far as fundraising is concerned, I believe we can come and meet you in the flesh on a Saturday morning, Nicole.
Yes, no, I'll be there with colleagues. We'll have our T-shirts on, and, you know, we've got postcards that have some information around what Doctors for the Environment stands for and what we're asking for, campaigning on, and, you know, the opportunity for people to support us in that and just taking action to support your health, really, the health of Cairns and the far north.
I understand the Royal College of GPs are also getting behind this, and they've just released a poster that's available.
Yeah, so the RACGP, as we know in the acronym, has declared, actually a couple of years ago, that climate change is the greatest health threat of the century. It's an emergency. And so they've recently launched a series of posters which can be put up by GPs in their GP surgeries to help educate the community on some of the health impacts of climate change, such as heat, such as floods, such as mosquito-borne diseases, such as the impacts of air pollution on asthma or people with lung disease.
Excellent. And look, you know, actually having experts providing that advice to the public is a great thing. It really is. Well, look, even though my mother always told me that blue and green should never be seen, look out for the Doctors for the Environment Australia. They'll be dressed up in the blue and green at Rusty's. And it's a keep up the good work. This is an ongoing issue. And for people that are on the coal face actually dealing with stuff, it's really great to talk to you. And I guess get a good example of some of the things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, particularly after the heat of the last couple of days. Dr. Nicole Sleeman, don't be a stranger. Thanks for coming in. We'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks, Murray. Saturday.